Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Assigned Heart Radio. This afternoon's show will deal with a distinctively eschatological theme. That is, we will discuss the church in the last days and its attitude toward doctrine. And it is interesting that in both the writings of Paul and Peter, we are told that there will be a shift in thinking about sound doctrine. And what this shift, this move from orthodoxy, that is from classical orthodoxy, to a more culturally theological positions that have on the church. It is interesting to note that Peter wrote that judgment begins at the house of God. Now, in the Greek New Testament, the word that we have transliterated as judgment is the Greek word crisis, K-R-I-S-I-S, crisis. K-R-I-S-I-S. And so the Apostle Peter, who opened the doors of the church on the day of Pentecost, states in a very decisive and forceful manner that judgment will begin at the house of God. It is interesting that the church seems to look outward and talk about what will take place in the Middle East, what will happen in Jerusalem. That is the broad prophetic themes that we are able to discern and talk about from the Old Testament. And we're even able, up to a certain point, to talk about the unity of Revelation that exists between the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, and the other attending books. And so we can look at eschatology in a broad way, that is, the doctrine of last. We can talk about the resurrection and its impact on eschatology. We can even talk about personal eschatology that has to do with the individual. And it's different when one has to discuss the church in this age. Now, I remember that when I took systematic theology in seminary, we never got to the point in our overview of the New Testament and in our overview of systematic theology. We never got to the point where we were able to discuss theological themes with regard to the book of Revelation and with regard to the church. And so after all these years, and over the years of being a pastor and teaching the New Testament and the book of Daniel, and other things relating to eschatology, I realized why we never got to that point in seminary. And it's because the professor did not want to be seen taking a position, that is, a particular position on what would happen in the latter days. But it is interesting that Paul does. Peter does. The writer of the book of Jude does. in the book of Revelation, John does. And so, whereas theologians and academic theologians are paid by certain groups to teach in a certain manner, these apostles, and with their prophetic content and their prophetic witness, were faithful to the Word of God. And I thank God for their faithfulness. And I thank God for their decisive witness for us. Yes. At the end of his life, Paul was beheaded by Nero for the Word of God. And Paul brought his witness, his powerful witness, before the Roman Empire. And he carried the gospel into Europe. This was Paul's mission. And at the end of his life, Paul said, I have finished my call. I have kept the faith. Paul understood that the cost of discipleship at some time, for some individuals, mean the giving up of their physical lives. Peter, we are told, was crucified upside down because he said that he did not want to be crucified in the manner in which his Lord had been. We have much information about Jude, and we know that John was put on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, and it is there that he received the revelation. He was banished for his witness. And John writes about this in Revelation chapter 1. What has happened to the contemporary church? What has happened to the postmodern church? What is its emphasis? Well, it seems that the emphasis and the ultimate concern of the postmodern church is complicity and conformity to cultural norms, contemporary cultural norms. There has been a de-supernaturalization in the Western church. Yes, they have wonderful music, they have wonderful programs. The mystique of programism still pervades the church. But when it comes to who Jesus is for real, there we keep the form of doctrine and we toss away the content. This has been the practice of liberalism for many, many years. Liberalism, in order to deceive important doctrines, but throw away the content. I remember just listening to certain individuals speak about Christ Jesus, and when I listened to them very closely, I could see that they were speaking of a de-supernaturalized Jesus, and a Jesus who was not the Jesus that is presented in the New Testament doctrine. The resurrection was to these individuals was a myth and something very vague, but the actual historic resurrection of Jesus Christ was totally denied. But Paul said that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then we're some be false witnesses to God has stated that he raised Jesus from among the dead. It is the historic witness of the church that Jesus rose again out from among the dead. In his sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached that death could not hold him. and that Jesus stood up, because he is the Lord of life, and he is also the Lord of death. And so Jesus has the keys over Hades and the grave. This in the book of Revelation. He is Lord of all. Jesus said in Matthew 28 that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. That is biblical. That is sound doctrine. And so therefore, we are commissioned to go forth into all the world and herald, that is, preach the good news of Jesus and his resurrection and his power and who he is. And so when the church elevates form over content, it loses its prophetic witness. And so the church without a prophetic witness has lost its militant status. Its message was dulled. Its message has been taken away. So the culture no longer listens to the church in any way. But God's message remains. The content of doctrine remains. Now God wants those who are filled with his spirit, who have been born again and subsequently filled with the spirit, God wants us to learn his word. So that our wills would be shaped by his word, so that we would live according to the word of God. This is what we're taught in Scripture. We need to recapture holy boldness. We need to recapture that powerful witness and that spirit that God wants us to have in this dead culture. Years ago, people used to talk about a dying world. The Bible never uses that language. The Bible never talks about a dying world. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul states that you and I were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, I understand the spirit in which those words were used, but let's use Bible language. Yes, let's use the appropriate language of doctrine. Then speaking about the world, speaking about the church, speaking about what the divine mandates are. God has called us out. Our sinners have been called out once. And so we have distinctive message. If you believe that Jesus died for you and that he was buried and rose again the third day, if you believe that message, then the Bible states that you are saved. And as a saved individual, you and I have a divine imperative to live out that word, God's word, as our appropriate vocation, so that we might learn his will for our lives. Let us be that city that sits upon the hill. Let us be the light of the world. Let us be that salt that Jesus states that we must be in these last days. Let us not lose our prophetic. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.